help train them. So every time Lieutenant Richter put on that G suit, every time he donned that parachute, and every time he grabbed that helmet and walked out the door to his jet, there was a 43% chance that he wasn't coming back, and he knew it. Although, knowing people like Lieutenant Richter, I would say he thought there was a 57% chance that he would. Towards the end of his second 100 missions, Lieutenant Richter was shot down by enemy aircraft fire. He parachuted over rocky cliffs in North Vietnam and landed on some sharp limestone rocks. And by the time the helicopters got to him, his internal injuries from bleeding were so bad they couldn't save him, and he died on the aircraft on the way home. At the bottom of that statue is a partial quote of Isaiah 6:8. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here I am, send me. Nobody epitomizes that statement better than the military. Because these guys are around the world answering that call every day. Who shall we send? Here I am, send me. Tomorrow we commemorate Memorial Day. We don't celebrate Memorial Day, we celebrate the 4th of July. We commemorate Memorial Day and we remember those who have gone before us, who defended our freedoms, and defended us, and died for us. It's not Veterans Day. Veterans have a day for that. We don't thank veterans for Memorial Day. We thank the people who died for Memorial Day. Every Memorial Day, I take it upon myself, and I remember four people. There's obviously almost 2 million people that were killed fighting for this country. I can't remember every one of them, so I take it on myself to remember four. I remember Robert Moore, who died in 1918 in World War I. He's a family member, and I'm probably the last living relative that will probably remember Robert Moore and his sacrifice that he made for this country. I remember Cliff Bland. Cliff Bland is an Aggie. He was killed in 1991 flying over the Persian Gulf in an AC-130 when they were shot down. I remember Kevin Boo Boo Ernest. Kevin and I served together flying C-130s and Dyess Air Force Base. He flew into a mountain, Jackson Hole, in 1996. And there's Bryson Moose Phillips, and Bryson and I were classmates at A&M, and he died in an F-16 crash in 1999. Who do you remember on Memorial Day? Today I want to talk about Memorial Day. I want to talk about what Memorial Day means to us, you know, the history. Why do we celebrate Memorial Day, or commemorate Memorial Day, rather? I want to talk about what Memorial Day means to God, because that's what we're here for, right? What Memorial Day means for Jesus and His church, because I think you'll find that they're tied together. Memorial Day's beginnings happen after the end of the war between the states. There's about four different stories that I've heard of how Memorial Day started, but I'm just going to share one with you because I think it epitomizes exactly what Memorial Day is. In April of 1866, there were four women that went out in Columbus, Mississippi to put flowers on the graves of soldiers, Confederate soldiers who had died in the war. When they looked at the Union soldiers' graves and they realized that, hey, those families aren't there to commemorate their dead, they decided out of their own hearts and their feeling of grief for those families that they would put down flowers on the Union soldiers' graves as well. And it's ever since that's been Memorial Day in Mississippi to commemorate not just their fallen dead, but everyone's fallen dead. It's that heart of humility and that gesture that makes us remember. When it started, it was called Decoration Day. It's what we refer to as Memorial Day. Decoration Day was the day when people would go out and they would decorate the graves of fallen soldiers. Over time, we've come to know it as Memorial Day. Win or lose, we still all have that same gratitude. It's not about the winning. It's about the sacrifice. According to the Center of Global Research, America has been in war 222 of its 239 years. Seems pretty incredible, but you have to remember over most of the 1800s we were fighting an Indian war. It's about the time we've lost almost 2 million total war dead. 2 million total people have died for us. What's that? The Veterans Administration says we fought in 8 major conflicts since the end of the Civil War. We fought those conflicts to preserve our own freedom. We fought in those conflicts to preserve the freedom of other nations around the world, sometimes getting nothing in return except their freedom, not our own. Some that I noted were, since the war between the states is the Spanish-American War, we freed Cuba, freed the Philippines, and indirectly freed Puerto Rico. World War I, we freed Europe. World War II, freed most of the world. The Korean War, freed South Korea. Vietnam, we freed the South, even though it was only for a short period of time. Grenada, we freed from the Soviets. Panama, we freed from a dictator. The first Gulf War, we freed Kuwait from the Iraqis. And the current Gulf War, or the current War on Terror, we freed in Iraq and Afghanistan. And undoubtedly kept ourselves a little bit safer. But people don't just die in war in the military. They die in accidents in training, and they die of disease and other things. 45% of military deaths occur outside of battle. To give you an example of that, in World War II, 6,000 airmen were lost in training accidents alone in the United States of America. Only 6,300 Marines were killed in Iwo Jima. We lost almost as many in training in the air as we lost in Iwo Jima. It's 6,000. It's about 2,500 less than we lost flying over the skies of Europe. It's a lot of people that died. What do all these people have in common that died for us? Well, Genesis 1:26 tells us, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So how are these warriors like God? Revelation 19:11-16 says it like this. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in his righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and in his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on it that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following on him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of the God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We don't focus on this image of Jesus very much in the church. I'm not sure why. But Jesus is a warrior. Jesus is a warrior king. And I actually find a lot of comfort in that image of Jesus myself, to know that he is sovereign like that. Likewise, Exodus 15:3. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. This is a song, or part of a song, that Moses taught to the Israelites to commemorate and remember what God did for them in freeing them from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh. So the rest of the song goes on to talk about how God destroyed the Egyptians, how he destroyed the Pharaoh and his army, how he opened the door for the Israelites to leave. Moses knew it was important to remember what God had done, and so he made them that song so they could always remember what God did for them as a great warrior. Memorials are important to God. They tell us where we've been, where we're going. They talk about God's sovereignty. We have many other memorials in the Bible. I'll cover a few of them. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the oak in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it, and I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all the flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, this is the sign of my covenant that I have established between you and me and all the flesh that I have on earth. See, God sets his own remembrances. Exodus 12. This shall be a day for you, a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. This is referring to Passover, so we never forget what the Lord has done for us for Passover. It's important to remember. To this day, the Jewish people still remember Passover. Talked about this a little bit on our anniversary celebration. But this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? And you should tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Probably one that we're most familiar with that really ties into together what we're doing today. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way he took the cup after supper saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Remembrance, memorials. God has set forth for us in the Old Testament, the New Testament, places to remember him and what he's done for us. This example here of what Jesus did for us. And Jesus' example here is exactly what we're talking about Memorial Day. People who died for us. Closer to home, we have other memorials where we too remember those who died for us. On the A&M campus, there's 55 flags that fly over Kyle Field to commemorate the 55 Aggies who died in World War I. Actually, they've recently discovered 7 more, but there's a move to commemorate those also. We also have the Memorial Student Center, which commemorates all Aggies who have died in all wars since the Spanish-American War. There's something in us that drives us to remember for some reason. The most recent war memorial is for those who died since World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, Gulf War, the War on Terror. And it starts with this quote from John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. If you could open up your Bibles, John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from the Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command to you, that you love one another. This is part of the Last Supper dialogue that started in John 13, where Jesus is with his disciples. It's a singular command to love one another, but it starts back in John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And if you'll flip back to, if you want to, you don't have to, John 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. In John 14, 15. In 14, 22, or 23 through 24, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, And we will come to Him and make our home in Him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father sent me. What is the word? The word is to love one another. It's a simple command. In verse 13, Jesus goes on to explain to us, what kind of love? What does this love look like? Well, this love looks like some love that you will give your life for someone else. It's not just that I love you, I say that I love you, but actually I will lay down my life for you. That's the degree of love that Jesus is talking about here. What's more precious than to give your life for someone? What do you have to gain by giving your life for someone else? You can't get anything monetarily, you can't spend it. You can gain fame, but you won't be alive to enjoy it. You can be written down in the history books, but no, you're not going to be there to read it. There's nothing to gain by giving your life for someone else, except to give them love. The value of human life is so high, and the value of your own life is so high. That's why Jesus chose this standard to put at. He chose this standard, your life. What's the response for somebody that does have their life given for them? It's extreme gratitude, right? I mean, what more can you have but extreme gratitude for somebody that actually laid down their life for you? I think probably that's why Veterans Day, is so important to veterans. Is because every veteran probably knows someone who died that they served with. In some cases, they died in our place. In all cases, they died for every one of us. So Jesus is telling you, have that kind of love for people. Be willing to lay down your life. And he goes on in verse 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What's his command? His command is to love one another, right? The inverse of that is, if you don't keep my command to love, then you don't love me. And that kind of stings a little bit. Verse 17 says, these things, some versions say this thing, meaning love, that I command you, that you love one another. We can't separate love from that willingness to die. Jesus didn't separate that, did he? He died for us. He gives us one simple command, and that's to love. Now, I guess we could argue that this was made among the disciples. It was made at the Last Supper. And that it applied to maybe disciples to disciples or Christians to Christians. So we'll let Scripture interpret Scripture. Turn to Luke 10:25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Isn't that just like a lawyer to look for a loophole? Is Ted here? I don't know, maybe God just likes to make fun of lawyers too. And Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came up to where he was, And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Remember, Jews and Samaritans didn't mix. They didn't hang out with each other at all. As a matter of fact, they were enemies of each other. I think the lawyer's question there is kind of pointing to all of us. How often do we look for loopholes in God's Scripture to avoid doing something that we know is plainly and clearly written? I think this shows that love everyone, including Longhorns. No offense. But you see, Jesus did more than that. Jesus did more than just love people that were a little bit hard to love. Jesus loved his enemies. Turn to Romans 5, 7. This is the last time I'm going to make you flip through. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. We were enemies of God, and God chose to die for us. Scarcely would you die for a righteous man. Would you die for a friend? Probably. Would you die for a family member? Definitely. Would you die for an enemy? He did for us. We were enemies of God. Sometimes we forget that as followers and believers, but we were too enemies. So you want to be a disciple of Jesus? You got to be willing to die like Jesus. You got to be willing to die for your enemies like Jesus. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. How true. Thankfully, we don't have the opportunity to lay down our lives for people on a daily basis. And we're grateful for that. However, we are called to be willing to have that kind of sacrificial love, and we are called to be willing to lay down our lives. We're called to be willing to lay down our lives for people that we may not like. And we're called to love them as if we do like them. Are we the kind of church that is going to love everyone enough just in this building alone to die for them? I hope we are. Are we willing to make the same sacrifices that all these troops out there have made for us? All these memorials that we have to? See, they died for people they didn't know. In some cases, they died for people in other countries that didn't speak the same language, had the same culture. They didn't even share the same religion. And they died for them. And they were willing to answer that call. Are we willing to be those kind of people that would die like that? You can't love like Jesus unless you're willing to die like he did. Unless you're willing to die for your enemies. Jesus didn't love us and die for us because we deserve it. It's because he wanted to. And he asked us to do it not because maybe somebody else deserves it, but because he commands it. So why is Memorial Day important? Well, Memorial Day reminds us of Jesus' love for us. how we have all these people over here that we commemorate every Decoration Day for the sacrifices that they made for us, like Jesus made for us. Like I said earlier in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image after our own likeness. These soldiers were the image of God. Whether believers or not, they were the image of God. And they did what Jesus did for us. Mother Teresa once said, I see Jesus in every human being. I see Jesus in every one of these soldiers that died for me. Every one of them. Every one of them is deserving of honor, and it reminds me of that. They loved us like He loves us. They died for us while people were enemies of them, people they didn't know, people that they sacrificed for. They died to give us freedom. And Jesus died to give us freedom. So in every way, when I see these, I see Jesus. So, Decoration Day, or what do you know as Memorial Day? It's a remembrance. And tomorrow, I'll remember Bud. And I'll remember Cliff. And I'll remember Boo Boo and Moose. And I'll remember the sacrifice that they made for us. And how much they remind me of Jesus. There's a story that came out of the war between the states in which a couple of young soldiers were overheard praying that if somebody had to die in the upcoming battle in their company, that it would be them. Because they knew the Lord Jesus and they wanted the other guys to have more time to repent and come to Jesus. That's the kind of person that we all should be. Willing to give our lives for others at any time. I want to close with another story from Vietnam. Gerald Coffey was a prisoner of war in Vietnam for 7 years. And he was in the infamous Hanoi prison, which the prisoners called the Hanoi Hilton. And one night there was a late bombing raid, and there were four F-105s that were flying overhead on a bombing run, and the lead aircraft sustained pretty heavy damage. And as he peeled off from the rest of the formations, the rest of the formation could go home, trailing heavy smoke, Lieutenant Coffey knew what was going to happen next, and that aircraft was going to be lost. So as he lay there in his cell, he came up with a prayer. Or actually a toast, sorry. Here with a toast. Reflecting on those missions and those men. And this is how it went. We toast our hardy comrades who have fallen from the sky and were gently caught by God's own hands to be with Him on high. To dwell among the soaring clouds they have known so well before. From victory roll to tail chase at heaven's very door. And as we fly among them there, we're sure to hear their plea. Take care, my friend. Watch your six. And do one more roll for me. Let's pray. Father, we pray for the peace of the families who have lost loved ones in defense of our country. We honor the sacrifices of the fallen. And pray, Father, that You continue to mold us into Your image. That we may love like You, that we may sacrifice like You and abide in You. We pray, Father, that we love others for Your glory. And that everyone will see You when they see us. Amen.
I want to encourage you, if you want to come up here and talk with someone or pray with someone, Brian's up here, and or if you just want to talk and pray with somebody right where you are, let this be a time for us to respond to the Lord. If that's through talking with somebody else, praying, singing, being still. Let's respond to him.
Shed for me, there's no greater love than this. the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame, but fix our eyes upon the cross and run to Him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely You bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come away, come away, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is risen from the dead. We are one with Him again. Come awake, come awake. Come and rise up from the grave.
Thank You, Lord Jesus. I want to call up Leon and Norley Moore. Come on up. Some real life examples of echoes of the sacrifice of Jesus, willing regularly to die sacrificially and live sacrificially. And they are leaving tomorrow to go to El Salvador. So I want them, come on up here. And if you want to help us pray for them, if you want to come on up and put a hand on them or just be close to them, we want to send them out with prayer as they leave tomorrow. So I'll give you another few seconds to come on up if you want. And then I'll open with I'll say a little prayer, and then if anybody else in the room wants to jump in, jump on in and pray, and then I'll have Merv close in prayer, then Brian will dismiss.
Lord, we Lord God, we thank you so much for your sacrifice for us. And we thank you so much for Leon and Norley and their hearts, their willingness to be obedient to you and to let you show your love and sacrifice through them. I pray for safe travel for them, and I pray that when they get there to El Salvador, your presence would be mighty in them, that they would know you intimately and know your power, and that everyone around would just see and feel and know the powerful love of Jesus through them, that you would sustain them and use them in an awesome way for your glory.
Thank you. thank you so much to Leon and Marley. God, I pray that everything they do and help out for is not of their own power, but that they abide in you and in your word every single day that they are there, so that they are strengthened, so that they can do what only you and your spirit can do through them. And I pray that they would walk in obedience and trust in you every single moment that they are there and every single moment that they are not. I pray for safe travels. I pray that, Lord, you just speak to the people there and that you cultivate even stronger relationships with the ones that they already have there. And for the ones that do know Jesus in El Salvador, I pray that they are in unity with the other believers there, and that they come together and that they can spread the love of Jesus through the action and the word alongside Leon and all the leaders that are there. Give them the leadership qualities that only you can provide to do the truly amazing work in us, Lord. I pray that we just trust you and be obedient to you in every process, whether we're here or there, wherever we are in this world. Thank you for your heart for the nation.
Father, your word says to obey and to go out. And Father, I'm just so grateful that you've given Faith Bible Church living examples of what it means to live that out in Leon and Nora Lee. And Father, I just ask that you will keep peace and calm here back in Bryan and in Texas, so that it's one less thing that Leon and Nora Lee have to worry about, so that they can stay completely focused on you in El Salvador. And Father, I just ask that you'll open up ears and hearts as Leon and Nora Lee go down to continue to build relationships that they've been working on for many years. And you'll give them opportunities to start building new relationships as well. And Father, we just ask that you bring them home back safe to us. And Father, just ask that as we continue to pray for Leon and Nora Lee and look at their example of how they're living out what your word says, that we'll also look in our own hearts and ask ourselves, what is it that we're supposed to do? Maybe we're not supposed to go to El Salvador. Maybe we are. But what is it that we're supposed to do to help further your kingdom, Lord? Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us even though we don't deserve it. Amen.
Who did this while we were enemies to him and called us his friends. To the glory and honor to him be forever and ever. Amen. You're dismissed.